From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. World Trade Organization leaders are looking for ways to salvage trade negotiations after the breakdown of talks in Cancun, Mexico. Delegates from 21 developing nations walked out of the meeting yesterday. The meeting was supposed to produce an agreement liberalizing trade law worldwide. Among the items delegates were protesting, agricultural subsidies paid to farmers of the world's wealthiest countries, subsidies they say hurt farmers in poorer nations. Some in developing nations like Brazil, India, and Malaysia portray the walkout as a victory, but there's gloom elsewhere. The Trade Commissioner of the European Union says the WTO has been dealt a severe blow, and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick said poorer countries rejected good offers.
The collapse of the Cancun Ministerial Conference figures on the front pages of many papers here and abroad. But for a lot of us, it fades quickly into a wallpaper pattern of news about trade rounds with ambitious aims that are never achieved, conferences that attract mass anti-globalization protests. What actually was lost with the walkout from Cancun, and who's likely to feel the consequences of this diplomatic ailment called a failed ministerium? We're going to put those questions now to C. Fred Bergsten, who is director of the Institute for International Economics. And Fred Bergsten, for people whose eyes glaze over at World Trade Organization news, what would you say is the importance of what just happened?
The importance is that the major players in this trade negotiation, the United States, but particularly the European Union and the developing countries themselves, simply have to do better in putting together offers to reduce their trade barriers to make this negotiation work. A breakdown in negotiations like this is nothing new. It's not debilitating because the real deadline for these talks is still 4 years away. But it is a wake-up call, both to the rich countries and to the poor countries, that if they're going to fashion a deal to strengthen the world economy, they both have to do more homework, deal with their domestic political problems at home, and put better proposals on the table.
What, though, is the great pressure on Europe or the U.S., apart from the fact that there's a deadline out there, to actually do better? Why not leave things as they are and muddle through the state of the world economy as it is without making good on some commitments made at Doha, Qatar, a few years ago?
There are really three sources of pressure for positive action on the United States and Europe. First, we know from history that a failure to liberalize international trade barriers and move ahead toward a more open system will lead to backsliding. If there's a vacuum, you'll get protectionism, you'll get new mercantilist initiatives, it'll move things backward, cause both political and economic problems. Secondly, there are big opportunities out there. The United States could sharply expand its exports to Brazil, India, a large range of developing countries, if we could get their very sizable trade barriers reduced. That could help create jobs and growth in our own country. That's a big motive. Third is foreign policy. The developing countries are now big players in the world trading system. They want significant changes in order to promote the opportunity for development there. We have a big stake in that and a big foreign policy interest in accommodating to them, giving them a positive support for what they're trying to do, including, incidentally, to reduce the risk of fomenting terrorist sanctuaries. So I think we've got some pretty strong motives to move ahead positively, and I think those will carry the day, as they have in each of the major post-war trade negotiations, really, over the last 40 years.
So to hear you tell it, this may just be a snag in negotiations. But the way you see it, world prosperity, a decade off, peace, anti-terrorism, all of that's somewhere under the table, if not on it.
I think that's right. I think we will gain in terms of world prosperity, in terms of foreign policy relations, even in terms of the anti-terrorist fight, by moving ahead to a successful trade negotiation. Every previous post-war trade negotiation has experienced interruptions like this. The last big one, the Uruguay round, was impeded for 3 years from reaching its conclusion by a battle between the U.S. and European Union. And it came back on track, and the outcome was the biggest of all in the post-war history. I think this is a blip. I hope the blip doesn't last too long, but there's plenty of time to get it back on track, and I strongly suspect all the players will want to do that fairly soon.
The Dutch Economic Affairs Minister said, perhaps predictably, we have all lost. There are no winners, only losers. Is that true, or aren't subsidized farmers in Europe or coffee consumers in the U.S. or rice farmers in Japan, aren't they winners?
They're winners in the short run, but I don't think anybody's going to be a winner in a lasting sense from this breakdown and holding out for their own protection. In fact, those protective devices are going to have to be liberalized more extensively than had been planned going into Cancun. I think that's the major message, and I think all the key countries will get it.
Fred Bergsten, thanks for talking with us once again.
Good to talk.
See Fred Bergsten, who is director of the Institute for International Economics.